Well, Sam, is this the first time you've been here in a while and been able to pray? Well, let people first, brother. So open the service for us, please.
Blessed Father, we come before you this day in the presence of your holy servants. And we ask you, Lord, that you just accept our prayers and supplications as we offer them to you. Lord, we pray for those, Lord, who are not yet found you, Father. Lord, the souls that have received tracts or with the sermon of your precious blood. Lord, I hope that they have read them or the hearing of us pierced the marrow of the bones, Father. They'll think of you this day of your rising. And Lord, that they return to you for help, Lord, and believe in you and repent and get saved. Please save souls this day. I pray for Israel too as the end is coming closer around. Please bless your people, Israel, Lord, and always put in our heart's desire that souls get saved. Please, Lord, save. I pray for our world leaders as well. Lord, for common sense where there is none. Lord, the terrible things that are happening to people around the world that we don't understand about. Please, Lord, just grant shelter, food, warmth, and meat for those in need, God, especially the poor children, Lord, on the streets. Bless all those in persecution, Father, for your name's sake. Lord, as you heard your people in Egypt when they cried out to you, Father, Lord, also hear their cries now. Please, Lord, come back soon, Father. And help them just save them, Father, Lord, please. I ask too, Lord, if you will, just be with each one of us here this day. Bless us and grant us our needs according to thy holy will as you've done in the past. We release one with another number, walk with us and talk with us, Lord. Grant us portions of wisdom as we are the of your word. That we can take it with us, Lord, and we can use it to talk to others, Lord, and point them in the right direction to you, God. Only you can save them. Lord, we offer praise and glory to you, Lord, with the tithes and offerings and the songs that we sing. And Lord, let's have a good time with you this day, Father, to celebrate the rising of your Son. Now, Lord, just be one by one, but please, Father, we give praise and glory and thanks to you always. And thank you, Lord, especially for me, for saving me the way you did, Lord, in that night. Without your presence, Lord, in me, Lord, you always were with me through the time. And for the prayers and offers and thanks, Lord, that came up from the ground. Please, Lord, don't be there. Keep me mindful and thankful, Lord, and keep my eyes upon you, Father, all times. In Jesus' most precious name, I give thanks to you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. We're going to begin in the Black Books this morning, hymn number 6. If you'd like to take a turn to hymn number 6 in the wee Black Books. And number 6 is that old favorite, There Is a Green Hill Far Away. And number 6 will remain seated for this first of our names this morning. day like today? Some of those hymns seem like they should be longer. Scoot over to, and that's the dealing with the Lord giving his life on the cross, but scoot over to number 36 in the big hymn books. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing Christ Arose, number 36. Christ Arose. This is why we're here today.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of evil, of devils, speaking lies and in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which receive, which them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If I put the brethren in remembrance of these things, I shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing of the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse to feign and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life, and now it is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach, that no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which has given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both be saved thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Good verses there. We do live in those latter days. There are a lot of people teaching a lot of stuff for biblical doctrine that is not true. All it's doing is hurting folks. But, take it from the Word of God. Just want to remind you all, we're on the green sheet, aren't we? Yes, indeed. See my wife holding my prayer list out. Make sure you get one of those. On top of that, I know it's down there as well, but Frank had his surgery there on Friday. Everything is going well. He's in now a 6-week recovery, give or take, period. So please do continue to pray for him. His eating will not be very good either. So there'll be no turkey and ham or lamb or anything like that. I think he says, anyone ever come across the stuff Huel? It's like a muscly food supplement almost, but it's like an instant meal. And I think Frank was saying that he has stocked up on Huel to keep himself alive until he's able to eat properly. So please keep praying for him.
I'm happy with his noodles.
Steve, I think you would not be happy with what Frank has to eat for the next few weeks. Just pray for him. We'll be praying for you. I didn't realize your stomach wasn't that good as yet, but we'll keep praying for you too. We're glad to have you. This is 3 weeks. That's the 3 weeks, first time in a few years, and we're glad to have you back. By hook or by crook, we're glad to have you both.
I told you I'd be back.
All you need now is the musculature to go with it. I'll be back. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger. But seriously though, this is Resurrection Sunday. I'm very glad to have each and every one of you here. We do indeed pray for our neighbours on the road and the folks that we've been able to Will and I have been able to get out to put leaflets in through the doors. We were up on Dunseverick Park there, just up above Pat and Steve, across the little bit from Norman as well. And normally after church on a Sunday, I would go up to the Crescent Link with a megaphone, but I think Easter's one of those days they don't actually open all the shops, so I get a day off too. So please do pray for those souls. The Bible says, because of sin, because of iniquity, the love of many shall grow cold. So it is up to us to keep it stirred up, to keep breaking up the ashes, and to keep adding more fuel, and to keep those fires burning inside of us. It is very, very easy for that to go out. And I think Monica was talking to a friend last night, May Spears, and she was saying, just like many of the other churches, ever since COVID, many people have stopped coming to church. Very, very important that you keep yourself right with God. I do the best I can, but when it comes right down to it, it's up to each one of us to maintain our Christian lives as well. So keep praying for each other. Very important. Don't forget Colin. The best of my knowledge, he's doing concrete humanitarian aid in Ukraine. I just had Eureka on my mind there for some reason. So please pray for him. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. Please pray for our leaders. We know that they are optimistic. Not optimistic, but optimistic. We know that from various reports that have come out around COVID time and with what's going on in the world right now. But the Word of God says we are to pray for them, so don't forget to pray for them. Don't forget also to pray for our country and to pray for Israel. Other than that, keep an eye on the prayer list. If you have any other prayer requests that need to be added, please do. We'd appreciate your prayers for Monica's family in the States. They lost, Monica's dad lost a brother just the tail end of last week. No, it wasn't the tail end. A week and a half ago. And a father and a grandfather and a husband. So please do pray about that. And of course, for all those that have lost loved ones. A lot to pray about. Anybody that says it will need 2 minutes, it only takes them 2 minutes to pray, obviously doesn't know anybody. So please do pray. All right. Let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time that we've set aside. I thank you, Lord, for your precious promise that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be there in the midst. Thank you for your precious promise, Lord, that you will hold us in the palm of your hand, and no man can pluck us out forever. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and I thank you most of all for your Son, Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, please, that you would watch over each one of us, that you would speak to each one of us today. Lord, especially lost souls that have heard the gospel or got tracked, or, Lord, our leaders, Israel, Lord, those young men and women that are giving their lives so that a wicked dictator can pocket billions in cash and equipment. Lord, this world is in such a mess, and it seems determined to head down that road yet. Please, I pray, constrain all those that have the ability to do right and aren't. And please bless those, Lord, that are doing the right thing. We really love you, Father, and we thank you. Please be with Frank as he recovers from his surgery. With Brother Steve as he recovers from his time in hospital too. With all those that have, again, lost loved ones. For those on the street that don't know you as Savior. For all the things that we have in front of us, Lord, I just pray. I'm thankful that your mercies are new every morning. Please supply every need, Lord, our daily bread. And Lord, we leave these things at your feet, along with private prayer requests and petitions, and ask that you would grant them according to your will. Please continue with us in the service, Lord. Just love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. Right, let's take our big hymn books again. We have a selection of Resurrection Sunday songs, and we're going to get to them. Let me just see. Let's do hymn number 33 next. Hymn number 33 is Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Hymn number 33.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah.
something, but just go back a page and turn to number 31, and we will, if you're able, stand as we sing He Lives. We haven't sung this one for a bit, but I'm sure it's not strange to us all. You'll get it. Hymn number 31 in the big books, He Lives. From sins real. I would like to spend just a few minutes this morning on the subject of is it real? Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1, we're going to read these five verses and then we will have another word of prayer and then we'll get started. The Word of God says, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That is our Bible reading. Verse number 3 is our particular text. I would like to spend a little bit of time on the subject of, is it real? Well, if you would, brother, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Father, thank you this day, Lord. We thank you for the wondrous salvation that Jesus Christ brought on the cross for us, says Lord. And that he is on that clearly all false gods, and he is the true God. And because he died for our sins, Lord, many partly. One thing separates him, because he beat death and rose again from the dead and saved us from our sins. To all that ask him for salvation, Lord. Just our landlord, help, Lord, save those many partly, Lord. And stand up yourself, Lord, save those many partly, Lord. Especially the trust of our just today, Lord. But also people that are faltering from churches throughout this day, Lord. Lord, bring people to churches, Lord. Also, use like. Use this spirit to convict people of their sins, Lord. Save souls mightily in part, Lord. Bless this message to your hearts, Lord, and may be the start to a wondrous week, Lord, for us, Lord. And Lord, may you renew our lives afresh, Lord, and renew more in thee, Lord, and bless our lives, Lord. Your absolute brother, Frank, Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord, without any trouble, Lord. Heal mightily and powerfully, and remove any discomfort or pain from his healing process, Lord, well, Lord. Your call message is when you create a lot of many trouble, keep safe, protect him mightily, powerfully, and drive a closer walk with you as well, Lord. Save us and call him John as well, Lord. And we have called him Christy, to the Lord, give them as well, and keep him safe and well, Lord. Also, we have Pat and Steve, help Steve and his convalescence, Lord. Strengthen him and keep him safe and well, and give Pat rest as well, Lord. Also, we have John Bradfield, keep him safe and well, Lord. And Lord, bless him in this Easter period as well. Keep him safe and well. We also pray the morning of Monica's uncle, Lord. Lord, you may bless our family and comfort them as well, Lord, and see thy work done, Lord, and see the mighty work. See so mighty powerful. Lord, with Mark's comfort to deliver the gospel, Lord. Lord, may you give us a blessing today, Lord, and we also give you Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Amen. Welcome, Trevor and Connor. We're glad to have you with us this morning. We are taking the verse number 3 from chapter 1 of the book of Acts as our text this morning, where the Word of God says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. This was, has anybody ever seen the relay race on TV on the Olympics? Where there's 3 or 4 lots of people involved, and they run, I don't know, is it 800 metres, like hammers and tongs, but only one person on the team can be running at a time with a baton, except where it comes to the handover period. And the Book of Acts, at least the start of it, is really the handover period, where the preaching of Jesus Christ was given to the apostles. Their 3 years of on-the-job training, and their then, shortly after this, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is everything that they needed to go on and give us what it is that we have today. Just before this, and one of the reasons we're here this morning is because Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead. And of all of the religious people in the world, he did something that no other religious leader ever did. He raised himself from the dead, proving that he was God Almighty and fulfilling so many prophecies that were given before his time And even that came out of his mouth where he said, I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take them up again. The word of God says here, he was seen by his disciples for 40 days. 40 days he was seen alive by over 500 people. And I'll give you that. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. Before we thank the Lord for everything that he has done for us, I honestly believe we should actually consider what it is that he did actually do for us. Because most of the country, and in fact most of the world, even Google doesn't recognize Easter. I saw that this morning. And I said, Google, why do you not have Easter on your logo? And it says that they don't promote any religious teachings. We know that's not a lie, because they'll promote the LGBT and Hinduism, and they're probably afraid to not mention Ramadan as well, in case there's a Ramadan a ding dong with the Muslims, and that will go down very well, I'm sure, online. But we know that the world hates God, and we know that they're doing their best to try and edit him out. But most people are eating Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies. They're lying in their beds and thinking it's wonderful. Jesus died on the cross and we're going to heaven. Now, one of those statements is absolutely true. And one of those statements is half true. Jesus is that gave his life on the cross. And anybody that repents of their sins and trusts him and him alone as their Savior is going to heaven. For as soon as you say it, God keeps you in the palm of his hand and nothing can pluck you out of it. And everybody says, hooray!
Amen. Amen indeed.
And that is good. But just to have a little bit of a serious head on, we ought to consider just exactly what that cost Jesus to save our souls. I came across a description one time of the scourging that everybody got before they went to the cross. You were scourged with the intent of killing you. Nobody, I don't think anybody survived a scourging. He was beaten. He had his face slapped. He had his face whipped. Raised welts. They plucked his beard off of his face, and that took chunks of flesh. Again, fulfilling a prophecy that his face would be more marred than any man. The scourging wasn't being whipped. There was a difference between being whipped and being scourging, or getting your 39 and being scourged. Scourging was like a cat of nine tails, maybe a couple of yards of leather with bone and bits of steel and glass and sharp stone embedded in it. And it wasn't whipped, it was thrown onto the person and then dragged with the express intent of destroying their back. And then, to add insult to injury, they were made to carry their own cross on their now destroyed back. So suffering from blood loss and shock, Jesus was made to carry his cross. And yes, Jesus is God. He was God back then, but he was fully man as well as fully God. And we know that he stumbled and couldn't take it. Even the scourging was too much to enable him to go on carrying his cross to Golgotha. And they made another carry it for him. And then the cross was laid in the ground, and he was stretched out on it, possibly tied to it. And then huge spikes, like railroad spikes, were driven into his wrists and into his feet to keep him there. He was not for coming down. Those would have destroyed your ability to walk or to work your hands ever again. And you need to remember, for all of the things that Jesus did, with one word, and I'm not talking about one of the names of God. I'm not even talking about the summoning of the 12 legions of angels. With a handful of words, sorry, he could have walked away. Mm-hmm. He could have said, this trial is illegal. it has been convened. My arrest is illegal. Right. He could have said, none of my witnesses agree, and by your own law, where two or three witnesses must agree, I am free. Pilate has said, there is no fault in me, I am free. He could have said all of these things. But the word of God said in Isaiah 53, one of the greatest descriptions of Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ ever came into the world, as a lamb dumb before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth. We know that Jesus didn't come to die for anything that he had done. And he could have walked away because he did nothing. He came to die for the things that we have done. And so they nailed him to that cross. And they had a little piece of wood, I'm sure, for his feet to stand upon, as his ankles were tied and his feet were nailed to the cross. And then the thing was lifted upright. And from that moment, he spent hours in agony, trying to catch a breath. The nerves in his arms would send shooting pains up and down him almost continually, and more so whenever he had to stand up to catch a breath to fill his lungs. And the pain from that would drive him back down again. But even in the middle of that, he tended to his worldly affairs. He said to John, John, take my mother as your mother. Woman, behold thy son, he said to his mother. And man, behold thy mother, he said to John. He made sure his mother was tended to. He preached the gospel. And he was still in the sin-forgiving business and the soul-saving business, because the two thieves that were on either side, he forgave the one that repented. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? No, you're a dirty thief. I'm not going to forgive you. You're up here because you're a bad guy. I'm up here for nothing. Why would I want anything to do with you except that you've repented of your sins? That's all that you need. And he said, verily, you'll be with me this day in paradise. He even called for the forgiveness of all of the souls that were duped by the devil into putting them there. Can you imagine how all of those souls that doubled down on everything that they did and refused to repent of their sins, guess where they are now? We don't have to guess, and we don't have to lay odds. Every single one of them that refused Christ as their Savior is in hell. And they're suffering and they're saying, why did I listen? Why did I listen to those other people in my career path? Why did I listen to the Roman soldiers? Why did I listen to those people who got rubbed up the wrong way? Because Jesus said all you need to do to get to heaven is tell God you're sorry for yourself. Why did I listen? They're in hell. Just like the rich man, suffering in the torment, wanting just for a drop of water in the tip of their tongue. A lot of people say hell is on earth. I guarantee you it's not. If you can turn a tap on and water comes out of it, or walk out and raindrops fall on your face, you'll know you're not in hell. There's no water in hell. He even called for their forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What would you and I have been looking for? Lord, I don't need 12 angels, but there's a few people in the crowd I'd like to see sorted out. Just send one or two down. You know who, Lord. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he forgave. He was in the business of forgiving the whole world. Because if you cast your mind back to one of the great battles in the Old Testament, one angel said that an angel of the Lord, I think maybe the angel of the Lord, came down one night and killed 180,000 soldiers in one night. 12 legions. Does anybody know how many's in a legion?
1,000.
So, say there's 12,000. That's millions of souls. That was probably the entire population of the world back in the day. He could have wiped out the entire world, and guess what? Not one person could say, God, they didn't deserve that because each and every one of us does. He was for forgiving the world. On top of that, he endured separation from God. And we don't think, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal with separation from God? I don't know about you, but I'm quite glad I'm a son of God. Not the son of God, an adopted son of God. I'm quite glad that just 3 years and 3 months ago that I had God on my side whenever I went into hospital. I didn't know how sick I was. I had people praying for me and I had God there.
Amen.
I'm glad of that. I am glad that whenever I woke up and I was having fever dreams and stupid thoughts, that I still could remember a few verses of scripture, that I could still hold on to the promise that God was holding on to me. And that I had done something for God for my life, that whenever I met him, I'd say, well, God, I'm not here empty-handed. They're a bit light, but I'm not here empty-handed. I did something for you, if it had happened. I am glad God is my friend. I am glad I have the Holy Spirit. And that's me, a limited fool with a sin nature that has an inclination for mischief. Maybe Steve would have more of an inclination for mischief than most of us. But I am glad. But imagine the Son of God, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning, who is light and in him is no darkness at all, who had never known anything else for the whole of our history and beyond that, fellowship with God. Same direction, same thought, same inclination, same power. The only one that he could ever fully fellowship with, because he's the only one like him. And whenever the darkness came down on the earth, there was an eclipse. Even God couldn't look on him because at that point, his sins had become so much that they separated him from God. And he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is sin that separates us from God. And the only thing that will get us together with God is the full and complete forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. He said one other thing just before he laid down his life, which you can't do. No matter how hard you concentrate, you cannot lay down your life. Even if you hold your breath, as soon as you pass out, your body says, yeah, right, and starts breathing again for you. He said, I thirst. And they give him the vinegar. They used to have that there as a painkiller to dull the terrible injuries that had been inflicted upon their bodies. And Jesus suffered those terrible injuries, but he also suffered the terrible burden of our sin as well. And then he said, it's finished. And gave up the ghost. It wasn't that his life was finished, because the Bible records that he went down to paradise. And he preached to the souls that were there for 3 days and 3 nights. And then he came back up with captivity captive, giving gifts to men. What was finished was the payment for our sins. It says, telestai, it says, paid in full. It's not just finished, it's paid in full. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do on the cross. The Bible does record that there was a little bit of a conversation between the scribes and the Pharisees at one point about a previous religious leader.
Yeah.
And their whole plan was to have him, well, he was killed and his whole organization just disintegrated. And they were hoping they would do the same to Jesus, that his apostles would run for the hills and they would never look back. And for just about every religious organization, that has been the case. Once the head was cut off the snake, the body died, and that was that. That's maybe a bad analogy, but you know what I mean. with a broken heart, he cried, "It's finished." And even after he was dead, there was no respect for him. I think Pilate said, "He's dead already. Go and make sure." So they went and they stuck a spear into his side, into his heart, and blood and water came out, heart failure, over the space of 6, 7, 8 hours. The Word of God says they broke the legs on the other two thieves so that they weren't alive on the holy day, but Jesus wasn't. And that again was a fulfillment of a prophecy from way back in the days of Egypt, where the Lord said, "You take the blood of the lamb and you dip it in a hyssop and you put it on the doorposts and on the lintels, and the destroyer will pass you by, but you are not to break any of the bones of the lamb." And they didn't. All the scribes and the Pharisees, when that happened, and Caesar, all those that felt in the least bit threatened, all those that stood to lose out on their power and their position, the devil and his angels, they were all dancing a jig. "We beat him. We have destroyed God's prophecy." And all the time, those that loved him, they wept and they mourned with broken hearts. The man that had commanded the weather, even the laws of physics, the fish in the sea, the devils themselves, sickness, illness, infirmity, blindness, deafness, even the very fabric of reality, and death itself from time to time, was dead. And one of the most humiliating and excruciating forms possible. No man or woman had ever beaten that. And the Bible records the disciples hiding away, terrified for their lives, thinking that the thing that they had done to Jesus would do to them too. And we do know that many of the disciples, not the apostles, but many of the disciples were killed in even worse fashion. I think it was one of the Caesars got the Christians up on posts and dipped them in tar and set them on fire as he rode his chariot through his gardens. That's the wickedness that men will descend to. Bad times for Christianity. But 3 days later, things changed. And for the next 40 days, the crucified and resurrected Son of God was seen by over 500 of believers. The first ones were Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, and Andrew. You had the two men on the road to Emmaus, commiserating with each other, and Jesus appears to them and says, "What's the form? Do you not know that this Christ was supposed to give his life?" And he talks to them from the Old Testament and says, "That's what that prophecy meant. That's what that prophecy meant. Do you remember when Abraham went to offer his son as a sacrifice on the top of the mountain? And he said, 'Father, where's the sacrifice?' And his father said, 'The Lord will provide himself a lamb.'" Those were prophetic words, even at the very beginning of the Bible, where the Lord provided the goats, or the skins of goats and lambs as a covering for Adam and Eve's nakedness, was a sign that the Lamb of God was going to come to give us life, a sinless substitute for those who knew nothing but it. He spoke with them. He ate with them. He proved himself alive. Do you remember Thomas? "Unless I put my fingers in the wounds in his hand and thrust my hand into the wound in his side, I'll not believe." And Jesus very graciously appeared when Thomas was there and said, "Thomas, put your fingers in the wounds in my hand. Thrust your hand into the wound in my side and be not unbelieving." He confirmed the prophecies about him in the scriptures. And he made good on them all. Because you see, every man can die. But not every man can come back from the dead like Jesus did. One of the things that was most notable was the wounds that men had put on him. They were gone when they saw him next. He was in his glorified body, and the only wounds were the wounds that sin had put on. And for the endless ages of eternity, Jesus is going to have the wounds in his hands and in his feet and in his side for you and me. And because he loved us so much, we're going to have his perfection. No sin nature and glorified bodies forever and ever. And the Bible says, when we see him, we'll be like him. No more aches and pains or tears or fears. And in him coming back from the dead, he proved beyond any doubt, and he proved legally, that he was God Almighty, and he has all the power and authority to do everything that he ever said that he would. And instead of demanding worship and money and praise and glorification from his disciples and apostles, he gave himself again. Even now, he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And whenever the old devil, who watches you like a hawk, him or one of his troopers, and as soon as you do something wrong or say something wrong or be in the wrong place, they run off and tell the devil, and the accuser of the brethren still goes into the halls of heaven and says, Father, Mark did this, Mark was there, Mark said that. And Jesus says, Father, I paid for that.
Amen.
I paid for that. He doesn't just give himself there either. God gave himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. If we were to read on in the book of Acts, we see the giving of the Holy Spirit and the cloven tongues of fire upon the apostles' head, the mighty rushing wind that filled the room that they were in, the preaching of the gospel to everybody, the strangers that had all come to worship in Jerusalem, the Passover. And ever since then, when people trusted in Christ, they received God Almighty in their hearts, in the Holy Spirit. That changes people, friends. That makes a difference.
Amen indeed.
At the very, very beginning of the Bible, man was created in God's image to walk and talk with him in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden. In the cool of the evening, yeah, that's right. Just making sure I put the words in the right order. And whenever Adam and Eve sinned, that fellowship was broken. And God no longer walked and talked with them in the cool of the evening. But the giving of the Holy Spirit restored that fellowship that for thousands of years had been missing. And let's be honest, things have changed quite a lot in the last 2,000 years. And God knows, because so much of it's in the Bible. We need it every day. There are so many things going on in the world that will try and drag you off the straight and the narrow path. We need God. We need the comforter that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of. We need the comforter to teach us, to help us with reason, to comfort us, to enable us boldly, the Bible says in Hebrews 10 it is, to enter into the holiest, into the very presence of God. Boldly. In other words, not with the blood of bulls and goats, and not with our finery on, and not waving this incense that can only be made for the temple, but boldly, like, God, I'm in a jam. Lord, I've done something wrong. Or Lord, that was really cool, thank you very much. We have Christians. We have God with us every day, every moment of every day, until the day that we stand glorified in heaven and we see Jesus and he says, well done! Well done, my good and faithful servant! You did something that John the Baptist never had to do. You overcame the devil. You beat him at least once. You overcame your feelings at least once. And you overcame the popular opinion of the world to say, Lord, I need you to save me. Please, I'm sorry for my sins. We're talking about the way it changed people. The disciples, they changed. When Jesus was arrested, they ran for their lives. They even denied him during the trial. They were broken at his death and crucifixion. But a few days later, they were born again. No more lambs of the gospel, but lions for the gospel. With no fear of death or persecution, because now they knew that there is a life after death, that there was a life after death. They had it demonstrated to them face to face, personally. And most, if not all of them, and many disciples of Christianity ever since, gave their lives for the cause of Christ. I think John was the only one to die of old age. Just like the 11 apostles, and even Paul the apostle, there's a difference. It makes a difference. Paul was a devil. He was a religious fanatic that hated Christians. And like so many religious fanatics that have hated Christians down through the centuries, he thought nothing about having them arrested and put to death. And he met with Jesus and he became a preacher of the gospel and confirmed the words that he spoke with signs and wonders and thought so much of the Lord that the Lord would save someone that had caused so much trouble that he gave his life for the gospel. Even after he was told what was going to happen, he still went to him. He had a meeting with destiny. And that story has been recounted thousands and tens of thousands of times over the past 2,000 years. Because the salvation that Christ offers to anyone and everyone makes a real difference. It will not make you perfect. It would be great if it did, but you'll be perfect in heaven someday. You still have the old sin nature to contend with, your old feelings and your old habits. Sometimes God breaks them and sometimes he leaves that up to you. But you are going to heaven whenever you're saved. There is nothing that anyone, not even the devil himself, can do to stop that. That little verse in John chapter 10 where he says, I have you in the palm of my hand and no man can pluck you out. If you read back in Isaiah chapter 14 and various other places in the Bible where it talks about the devil, this is what it talks about, the end of the devil when he's cast down. Is this the man that caused nations to tremble? He has become a man like us. Not even the devil can take you away from Jesus. Not even your own stupid self can take you away from Jesus. Jesus keeps you, and it's dependent upon Jesus, not upon any ritual, money, good deeds, good words, or singing like an angel. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's a struggle to live the Christian life. But it's always good to live the Christian life. There is a battle to be fought over feelings. There's a battle to be fought over what everybody else says. And there's a battle to be fought against the temptation that the devil will throw your way. But it's always good to live as a Christian. Because when you're keeping your eyes on Jesus, and you're going in the right way, and you're fraternizing with the right people, and you're preaching the gospel, that will fulfill just about every need that man has. A lot of people say, Christian life's a bit boring. You try talking to someone about their eternal souls and see how boring it gets. That's the greatest thrill. Something else that the resurrection of Jesus Christ shows us. That you and me are valuable. The Word of God shows us, in fact, it tells us a number of times, Jesus said in the Gospel, what good would it be to you if you gained the whole world and lost your soul?
That's right.
Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? There is no soul that some would call pond scum that is that bad that Jesus can't save them. And there is nobody that is at the church door every day of the week is so good that they don't need saved. Is that right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're never that bad, you can't be saved, and you're never that good, you don't need to be saved. The Word of God gives us the true value of souls coming into the world. And He points us in the right direction as we navigate our way through the world. He promises a safe and a sure arrival to our home in heaven and a little bit of heaven to get therein. And He holds our hands as we step off into the next world. And if we remembered, even for a moment or two, day by day, just how much it costs to save our souls. But God loves us so much and recognizes our need for a wee bit of help every day. Even wants to hear from us day by day, bad and all as we are. And that He gave Himself again as an intercessor, as our friend, and as a loving father who always has an ear open for a child of His. That will never be alone, never forsaken, never cast away. You'd not just behave differently. You'd be different. These are not just words. But as Peter said, they're the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? And it's not for religious people. It's for people. And it can all be yours along with a whole bunch of stuff that we haven't even mentioned. When you turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you please save me? I am sorry for my sins. And you mean it from the bottom of your heart. A wee verse in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 is a great chapter of the Bible. It's worth a read. This is the, in quotes, formula for getting to heaven. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, in other words, ask Him for yourself, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, in other words, trust Him, thou shalt be saved. And you don't have to go to the ends of the earth to see the difference that God makes in a life. Walk through the town. Drive through it at night. I wouldn't advocate walking through any towns these days at night. See the shape of souls that don't have Christ, that are not making good on His promises. And see what they're up to try and forget or to try and substitute for the promises that God had. The immorality, the drunkenness, the drugs, the violence, the profanity and the blasphemy. It's not just a real nice thought. It's real. It's real. Jesus makes a difference. A difference is not just as far as from the east is from the west, it is as far as heaven is from hell. An immeasurable gap. And He gives it to us for free. Mm-hmm. I am thankful that I trust and believe 34 years ago and the Christ that died for me. I have never had to get saved again. I have had to go before God and say, God, I have made a mistake. Would you help me not to make it again? Many times. I have had to get many lessons. But I have never had to get saved again. Because once Jesus saves you, you're saved for free, forever, and for sure. I want to thank you for your good time and attention this morning. God bless you this Resurrection Sunday. You want to take the big hymn book that you have in front of you or behind you? Did we sing all of our? Nope, we have one. Hymn number 34. Hymn number 34 in the big book. That is, I Know That My Redeemer Liveth. Hymn number 34. If you're able, we will stand as we sing. And let's make a joyful noise. let's remain standing. We'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Let's go to our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time around your word. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. Please see us safely home. Please be with those that's just not 100%. And Father, we thank you for coming back from the dead and for proving yourself alive by many infallible proofs. And Lord, for giving us that promise. Please save lost souls. Please edify those that are saved. And please help us, Lord, to always be of a good use. Don't be done with us, Lord. And even now, Lord, please work across the world as we take this time out from everything just to worship and praise you. We love you and thank you, Father, and we leave these things at your feet, along with our private prayer requests and petitions. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.
Connor, let's see you.